News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. This portion of Mobile Mornings is brought to you by Breeze Airways. If you're looking for an easy way to get out of town, Breeze Airways, they've got your ticket at Mobile International Airport. With their new schedule, never been easier to plan a quick getaway. They've got nonstop flights to Orlando. They take off every Friday and Monday. And the best part is the flights start as low as $39 one way. Book them. Book them now. Book the $39 one way is an amazing deal. And, of course, Breeze Airways is known for its seriously nice flights, combining affordability with comfort and ease. The flights are on the Airbus A220 made right here in Mobile. And Orlando is just about an hour away in the air from downtown Mobile and the downtown airport. Again, the big news, Breeze Airways now offering flights on Fridays and Mondays, perfect for weekend trips or a trip to kick off the week. And they started to $39 one way, making travel more accessible and certainly budget-friendly. Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Hassle-free direct flights from Mobile International Airport to Orlando. Starting at just $39, go to flybreeze.com.
808 Mobile Mornings coming up just after 8:30. We'll have Rob Holbert with Lanyap on to talk about the latest in state and local news, maybe the biggest state news we've had here recently. Came yesterday with the news that new Elmore County prison that is not cheap, actually quite expensive, and still being built, will eventually be known as the Governor K. Ivey Correctional Complex. So the governor's name being slapped on the prison, and we've seen a lot of texts about that this morning. We'll get to that later, 251-343-0106. But the Trump cabinet continues to take form, and names have just been flying in from that Trump transition team here over the last 3 days. And while we had seen some interesting names to start with from the very beginning with the naming of the chief of staff and then working his way to fill out the rest of the cabinet. You know, Marco Rubio as Secretary of State, that wasn't made official until yesterday. Trump came out and said that would be the nomination, but that kind of leaked early. And if you're a senator who will be voting to confirm some of those positions like Secretary of State, they were looking at that Rubio selection and saying, hey, this might be pretty easy. It seems that Trump is going to do things kind of sort of straightforward.
By the book, no controversies.
Yeah. Right? And then as the picks went along, things started to change. Pete Hegseth, quite the surprise to be the Secretary of Defense, although we talked about that quite a bit yesterday. And, you know, who determines, who is it whose job is to determine what the baseline for any of these White House roles should be? They say Pete Hegseth isn't qualified, but you're talking about a man who went to two Ivy League schools, military for over 20 years.
Two Bronze Stars,
has been a rabid supporter of veterans the entire way through. And because he's not a career bureaucrat that worked his way through the military system of politics, then a lot of people say he is completely not ready for the job at hand. And then yesterday you get the big announcements that for Director of National Intelligence, Trump paying off likely a promise he made to Tulsi Gabbard, the former Democrat who jumped to Team Trump, and she will be the Director of National Intelligence, which is very interesting because she has had her battles with those intelligence groups, just like Trump has. They even put her on, you know, like not a no-fly list, I forget the word, but she was being monitored and had an extra 45-minute search every time she would fly.
What was that all about?
I'm trying to remember
the
exact specifics.
She had that blow up with Hillary Clinton around 2016, 17. Mm-hmm. I remember that was big, and she really, that was the beginning of her reassessing herself as a member of the Democratic Party.
Here's some from Tulsi, and I didn't pre-vet this with the ears. I probably should. I don't think there's any curse words in here, FCC, but here's Tulsi talking about being put on the terror watch list because of her political views.
Okay.
I've served now for over 21 years, deployed to war zones in both the Middle East and Africa, put my life on the line for the freedom and safety of the American people, and still serve today. Now, My own government has placed me on a secret terror watch list, targeting me as a potential domestic terror threat. Why? Political retaliation. I spoke out about how dangerous Kamala Harris would be to our nation if she were to be elected as president, and why the American people should be very concerned. Now, just before boarding a flight on July 23rd, my husband and I were pulled aside for additional TSA screening. Our electronics were swabbed for traces of explosives, and when we landed, my husband was pulled aside for another round of additional screening. On the next several flights that we took, our boarding passes were marked with the Quad S, and we were subjected to in-depth searches by the TSA every single time, each time taking 30 to 45 minutes, every inch of our body patted down, every item in our carry-on searched and swabbed for explosive residue, and sometimes going through this all over again at the gate before being allowed to board the plane. Every time this happened, we were told by the TSA agent there, this is just a random selection. Now, that might have been believable if it had happened just once or twice, but 5, 6, 7, 8 times in a row? There's no way. On August 4th, federal air marshal whistleblowers came forward with very disturbing information. They revealed that I had been added to a secret terror watch list run by the TSA called Quiet Skies on July 23rd. This is the very same day my husband and I began to be subjected to those in-depth TSA searches. These are images of the TSA targeting package that the air marshals were given as part of their mission brief. I later learned that at least 3 air marshals were assigned to watch me every time I traveled, in the airport and on the flight. TSA deployed explosive K-9 detection teams and a TSA...
So she goes on, placed on the Quiet Skies watch list, not the no-fly list.
I didn't know that that existed.
No, and that means you might be on it, Dan, for all we know. But I don't think so, because you haven't upset as many people as
Tulsi
has over the years.
But I'm getting there.
You're getting there. But she kind of went through her own Russia hoax thing as well, just like Trump. She was competing against Hillary during that 2016 primary.
Yeah.
They said that she was a Putin stooge. Remember?
Yeah,
one of the first that they tried that out on.
That was just a horrible attack on her. A Democrat. And anyway.
And so much of that led to her eventually renouncing the Democratic Party, becoming an independent,
yeah,
and then more recently joining the Republican Party. But I'd say, I think most people could tell you, she's more of a MAGA partier than a straight up and down Republican. So
yeah,
interesting choice for her for Director of National Intelligence, and we'll see what the confirmation process for that looks like. But then
she's going to roll in there with a chip on her shoulder for sure.
Yeah, and that seems to be a common theme,
yeah,
for a lot of these selections.
Yeah.
You look at Pete Hegseth and even the things he said last week on the Sean Ryan podcast,
yeah,
about how he would change things in the military immediately. And so much of even the book he wrote, one of the books he wrote, about the wokeness in the military and how unprepared we are for war because so much of the focus has been spent on the wrong thing.
Look, we had a president who graded out fairly well who was an actor. Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Now, he was governor of California as well, but he didn't have all the experience in the world. He was just who he was. And America voted overwhelmingly to make him president twice. When you were talking about these appointees, they don't need to come, obviously, Trump's way of thinking, they don't need to come out of the same manufacturing plant as the other ones, and good for them.
Here's Tulsi, by the way. She went on Jesse Waters last night on Fox News after the nomination was announced, and she had some stuff to say about how she plans to do her job, or why she was chosen to do the job.
The American people delivered quite an incredible mandate for change in this election with the popular vote and the electoral vote overwhelmingly saying, hey, we want Donald Trump as president, and we've had enough of the Harris-Biden regime. Of course, there's going to be resistance to change from the swamp in Washington. I think that's kind of the point. The American people are saying, hey, stop looking at yourselves. Stop focusing on your own power, your own position, your own bank accounts. How about we have leaders in Washington who are actually looking out for the American people? And on every issue across the board, that's really what it comes down to with what President Trump is trying to accomplish is we have to make sure that our government puts the interests of the American people first.
So that's Gabbard. That was a small bomb dropped on D.C. But then the big bomb came later, and Trump's nominee for Attorney General, Matt Gaetz, which will make things even tighter for the House. This is now 3 Republican congressmen,
yeah,
that Trump will be pulling for his cabinet. They should still have enough. They will have the advantage when it comes to a vote, but not by as much as they would have. And I know Mike Johnson spoke about this after the Gates
selection. This was Ron Johnson.
Oh, okay.
This was from Michigan. And they had to ask him twice. He was on Fox last night. And he evaded it the first time around, talking about some of the other appointees. And the guy came back to him and said, well, what about Gates? And you can see Johnson is lukewarm at best.
Well, again, I've always appreciated how he questions witness and hearing. So he's a smart person, obviously highly loyal to President Trump. Again, I don't know enough about him in terms of his ethics charges. And that's why I say it's a somewhat interesting pick. We'll have to see how that all unfolds. We'll have a confirmation process here, and I'll have an open mind.
The least inflammatory thing that was said about it was an interesting pick, but that was from Ron Johnson.
You were going through the reactions as reported on by several different organizations, and there was laughing, there was crying at the Capitol because people just... tears from laughing, I should note.
I think the Post and Politico were reporting all this.
I like it. He's shaking it up. And I don't know if Trump has any, if he actually thinks Gates could become AG. And, he floated that thing about recess appointments earlier in the week, which I guess there's a potential way that Trump as president could put the House and Senate in recess and do it on its own. Of course, that would draw a whole bunch of pushback from the left and the media. But this Gates selection, and why? Because Gates went ahead and resigned from his seat from Congress, which means beginning January 3rd, not beginning now, but Florida will have 8 weeks to call a special election. So they could get his congressional seat filled pretty quickly, which is, as close to us as you can get to a congressional race that's not in the state of Alabama.
Yes, it is.
Is right there with Gates. And the AG thing itself, it sure seems like a tall order to have Gates confirmed by a Senate where not only do the Democrats dislike him, but also a lot of Republicans do as well.
Yeah, I mean, he has rankled people everywhere he's been, every moment of nearly every day. And you remember the big dust up with the Speaker,
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy,
right?
Yeah.
And Gates, he's a guy that seeks the camera, gets the camera, and has got a lot to say when he's on the camera.
My theory on this is, everything with Trump is a negotiation. Mm-hmm. Everything, every single thing is a point in a negotiation.
Right.
And he's already floated the idea of recess appointments, which means, Senate wouldn't be in session.
Right.
They're able to get through his nominees without going through the typical votes needed. Is Gates being thrown out there? First off, Trump's able to say he's still loyal to Gates because Gates has been with him through thick and thin,
Yeah.
He says, hey, I'm giving Gates this opportunity to be AG. He is such a fireball. He is such a problem for the Democrats. Pretty much any other nominee to them
would be
passable.
Less inflammatory.
So if Trump has another potential AG in mind, or maybe he's wanting to take the heat off of some of these other nominations, like Hegseth, who the biggest issue people had with him was his qualifications. Well, now that you have Gates in the mix, some of these other candidates don't look so bad for Democrats. So maybe that's kind of his negotiation is, hey, I'm going to throw this out there, but actually whoever my second pick is will pass easier now.
Because Gates is so because, such a bad pick.
Yeah.
But also, I
don't think bad pick. Everyone's saying bad pick.
I got it. But he's not palatable. And also you read somewhere, this was a great theory as well. The Justice Department dropped the case against Gates for the underage girl, but the House is still investigating him on that, right?
That was the big one. One of the biggest issues between him and former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. So the DOJ was investigating these alleged, and they call them sex trafficking charges. If I remember correctly, the story was that Gates allegedly was taking a 17-year-old on a plane somewhere for a date or something like that. So because crossing state lines and because the person was 17, they could levy sex trafficking charges. Well, the DOJ ended up dropping those charges.
Right.
It came after he was fighting for Trump back in 2021.
Yes.
And really made some people angry through that whole thing. But then the House Ethics Committee picked up that investigation. I think they had it before the DOJ. They kept that rolling. Kevin McCarthy has mentioned it a bunch of times when he references Matt Gaetz, and they dislike each other a lot.
Yes.
Someone said that in 2 days, the House Ethics Committee was going to put out a report on their investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And that with Gaetz resigning now, or yesterday, as he did, that it's now out of the House committee's jurisdiction.
Right.
So they're not doing that anymore. So he's no longer in the House.
He's no longer going to be hounded by that stuff.
By that investigation.
Right.
So he's up for the AG. If he doesn't get that, some are saying, well, maybe Ron DeSantis will go ahead and appoint him in that Senate seat that Marco Rubio will be vacating for Secretary of State. So the Senate will have either to decide, if this is how things work out, do you confirm Matt Gaetz and he's the next Attorney General? Or if you don't,
do you allow him to become a senator?
Allow him to become one of your colleagues there on the Senate floor.
Yeah. How about that?
That's pretty interesting.
Checkers, chess, or whatever it is, but you know, at first blush, the story kind of like, wow, what's going on here? Is Trump just trying to irritate people or what? And now you look at it and it's a little more three-dimensional, right?
Yeah, very. Four-dimensional, some would say.
824, Dan and the esteemed Dr. Dalton. Good morning, text line 251-343-0106. Dan and Dalton, also if you've got a question for Rob Hobart from Lanyap, you can go ahead and text that to us as well. It is 827.
Looking at the text line, GC says, what about the current Secretary of Defense? Looked like he spent a lot of time in the chow line. Lloyd Austin? Let's see here. Are y'all sure this isn't the Republicans' way of removing Matt Gaetz from Washington without Matt Gaetz making a big hubbub? Yeah, that's another theory I saw, is that the House is relieved now, or at least some members of the House, because Gaetz is no longer in the House of Representatives. He might not get the confirmation for AG, but Trump will be able to say that he was loyal till the very end. The only question then is, does DeSantis replace Rubio with Gaetz in the Florida Senate? Just some questions being bandied about after the Gaetz selection last night. Mr. Plott says, oh yeah, and his daddy will end up filling his seat. Yeah, Gaetz's father just run for another House seat, though? I think he may have just won a race. I'll need to look into that.
Really?
I thought he did.
I knew he was in politics.
I might be way off on that.
All right.
I apologize. Mr. Plott said, my Nostradamus moment, Gaetz will be the shiny object amongst all the other nominees. He'll go last in the process, forcing most of the Senate to keep their powder dry for him. The others will sail through. Matt Gaetz won't. Trump will make him acting AG and give him a recess appointment the first chance he gets. Don't know if that's possible, but sure sounds good to me. Gene. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Gene.
Gene said, sad that we have billionaires playing games with our livelihood. We are being mocked by the whole world. I don't think so. I think the whole world is getting in line and getting ready for a President Donald Trump. And, you know, if you talk about being mocked, when you name your department, when you name the leader of Health and Human Services and it's an obese trans person,
yeah, there's some mocking there.
I mean, just having your the director of Health and Human Services be obese just to start with is an interesting choice, right?
Yeah.
So I'd say maybe the current regime probably had us being mocked by the whole world already, Gene.
Well, I would say this to Gene as well. If you had greater exposure, if you had the greatest exposure possible out there, Gene, you could find yourself mocked by the whole world.
Yeah,
that would be something that you'd have to deal with.
Exactly.
But you're just here local.
Jason says, I love the Gaetz pick, but I did have Matt Whitaker in the pool. That was definitely a name that keeps coming up.
Yeah.
Ben, the only way a Gaetz appointment is a win is if he doesn't get it and somehow falls out of politics altogether. Quite the interesting decision from Trump to nominate Gaetz. He's not, you know, I don't think he would be bad at it.
There's videos
of him going round and round with the current AG, Merrick Garland.
Yeah.
Committee hearings.
Yeah, he's ripping him apart.
Pretty strong in that.
Yeah. So he is good at litigating.
Yeah.
But he's also kind of a character.
Yeah.
Or a caricature.
He's made some enemies. Coming up, Rob Hobart with Lanyap, latest state and local news. We'll get into this Katie Britt thing as well with the Senate Majority Leader election yesterday on the way on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 834 on your very crystal clear, beautiful Thursday morning. And a high today, mid-70s, and then things are going to get nice at night. Should be a great weekend.
Yeah, it's looking that way. And a great Thursday. And on Thursdays, we talk with Rob Hobart with Lanyap. You'll find the work online, lanyapmobile.com. Good morning, Rob.
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good.
We're good. Not had a correctional facility named after me good, but pretty good.
Yeah. He's filling in for Dr. Bill on the weather this morning, so he is subtly now Dr. Dalton, if you want to address him that way.
Yeah.
I think I can't remember what prison it is they've decided to name after Kay Ivey.
The one in Elmore County.
Elmore County Prison.
Yeah.
Elmore County.
The expensive
right.
one, Rob.
Is it going to be called Mama's House? Is that what it is? Mama's House?
The Governor Kay Ivey Correctional Complex. Governor. Yeah. So it'll have her name on it, and that's forever. So that's
what a lovely honor. Yeah, what a lovely honor.
You're the governor of the state, and you decide it's a good idea in the middle of your own political scandal, I would say, the VA thing is going on. Is she may walk away from it unscathed, but it's still at the time. You decide that it's a good time to announce that an overpriced prison that was forced on you from the DOJ, you're going to name after yourself.
I think it's a fitting monument to her time in office.
I'm trying to think of, you know, prison names. I can't really think of any that have the names of figures on them, like political figures.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're out there, but
they probably are.
You think Alcatraz. What's that?
Alcatraz was named after Joey Alcatraz.
That's right. What about Folsom?
I remember him.
Down the street.
I don't know.
Folsom Prison, yeah. Rikers Island. I don't know if Folsom was named after someone, but there you go.
I don't know. You know, they probably all have, you know, they probably have full names that people just don't use.
Yeah.
You know, in Mississippi, it's Parchment, you know. You talk about Atmore, typically, you know, we just name them by the town they're in. Mm-hmm. Angola sounds terrible, right? Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're being sent somewhere awful.
Right.
You are being sent somewhere awful.
I do have a theory. I don't know if Ivy, if she was excited about this yesterday or not. I saw her own office was putting out press releases saying, because she's such a great governor, they're going to name it this and she deserves it. What if this was just a prank? You know, what if the finance department who officially made it official yesterday, what if her office, what if she didn't want any of this and they named the prison after her?
She probably doesn't know what happened anyway. I don't know.
It's like a dirty Santa gift for Governor Ivey.
Giving her one more chance to go
really
nuclear.
You should name prisons after things that people don't, you know, it should be like Hell Island or, you know, Bag of Broken Glass or whatever, just something terrible. It doesn't, you know, the welcoming grandmotherly figure, Kay Ivey, come on in, boys.
You could have partners in there like the Smoothie King prison. You know, you could get paying partners.
You could do that, yeah. You could sell the naming rights.
Yes.
I think that might be good.
Yes. Yeah,
Smoothie King Prison. I like that.
That was a good idea. So there you go.
Go for that. I'm sure that's their demo.
Governor Kay Ivey Correctional Complex. Let's talk about something much more important, and that's the cover story in this week's Lagniappe. Of course, Veterans Day was Tuesday, and you've got some fatigues there on the cover, and a story about vets recover and how veterans are being helped in our area.
Yeah, I mean, we've been writing about all this dust up between the governor's office and the veterans board in the state. And some of that is sort of intersected with John Kilpatrick, who started Vets Recover, but Dale Leish went out and did a story on Vets Recover as well as some other places where they're trying to do things to help veterans who, disproportionately suffer from drug addictions and substance abuse. So that's what they're doing out there, really, is taking people in and helping them get off get off drugs and alcohol and helping them get their lives started back again. And it's been really successful and something we really needed in Mobile because they'll take people who don't have insurance and people who are really kind of at the bottom of, you know, really hitting rock bottom and helping them out. So it's been a big boon for the community. Unfortunately, it is caught up in all this stuff with funding issues are difficult at this point. And so it's that's some part of the story as well, is just, you know, trying to figure out where where they are financially. I mean, I think that they've got opportunities to be self-sufficient and do well, but they also have some, I think they've got some funding that's kind of been hung up a little bit and they're waiting for it.
Yeah, and Lanyap, you know, you've been on this story, this battle between the VA and the governor's office since the get-go. Some interesting things that Admiral Kent Davis, he came on Sean's show earlier this week on Midday Mobile and was in for an hour, and it was great to hear him arguing from his point of view how all of this went down. But as far as your story is concerned and Vets Recover, I thought it was notable. You know, he talked about how much trouble they were in the VA before he took over, and he wasn't, you know, glorifying right. himself. This is something that a lot of people right. have said. He was just putting the facts out there at the wait times and how little it seemed the state seemed to care about the VA. Then he gets in there and really starts making moves. And one of the things he noted in that interview was kind of alternative solutions to the mental health issues that veterans face. And I know Vets Recover, probably more of a traditional kind of rehabilitation place to get off drugs or alcohol, but so many of these things that help veterans are like, you know, riding horses, going out to the gun range, doing things that normally if someone who's experiencing some mental health issues and they went to a psychiatrist, it wouldn't normally be, you know, prescribed to them.
Right.
Things that help veterans right. specifically for things they've been through, and how legislators, maybe they're so far away from the military life compared to when everyone used to have some sort of
connection
to the military, yeah. that they don't see those things and say, this is a great idea. He said they were looking at it more like witch science, and he's just had a really tough time over his term as commissioner of the VA getting state legislators and other politicians to see how to help these veterans.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things we saw in the last legislative session was a bill to try to do some of those things, and I from my understanding of it is that it got pretty hijacked by special interests in the middle of getting it done and really took a lot of the oomph out of it and really kind of left them with something that is not really what they wanted. pardon me, but the I mean, it's a big issue in our state. We have, you know, one of the worst mental health care states in the country, and for veterans, that's doubly bad. I mean, it's really been handled very poorly in Alabama, and it's something that we need to really pay attention to. You know, as far as Admiral Davis goes, I mean, I think if you listen to him talk, and we talked to him, he's pretty compelling,
mm-hmm.
And he doesn't sound like somebody who took any of this very lightly. And he also has a very detailed explanation about everything that Ivey's office claims that he did, and he rejects that, first of all, but he also explains in great detail something they do not do. They have no detail to any of the stuff that they say, and they also refuse to really talk about much of it. So, you know, I mean, just in my experience, when somebody's really willing to sit down and explain things, they have a lot less to hide than somebody who just says, yeah, this is how it is, and we don't want to talk about it.
It was a long...
And so, I mean, I think, you know, it's just personally, to me, this whole thing with him is a real disaster from the governor's office standpoint. It's really a mess that they've created, and it's one that we're going to have to deal with because they've created a precedent for the governor overriding independent boards, and we need to have that answered at some point because there will be a new governor sooner or later, maybe sooner than later. So you just need to have those things laid out.
The way Davis is talking now, it seems to me that this thing is not going away, that he's been kind of a revitalized by his support and by, I would say, his understanding that he's on the truth end of all of this, and it just sounds like his attorney is like now you thought we were just going to walk away. We're not going to. I don't know where this goes, but wow.
But I mean, the reality of it is this: you know, Kay Ivey made a deal with Kent Davis, and then she reneged on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal was that he would serve out his time through the end of the year, and he would leave. And he went there and resigned. Which he did. He shouldn't have had to, but he did it anyway because he didn't want to create a bunch of trouble. He also wants. He's a human being. He wants to have a life after this. He wants to have a career after this. But by the governor coming in and saying, no, we're not doing what I said we were going to do. Now I want this guy gone today. She's put him in a bad light again, you know, and then on top of that, they trashed him, you know, so they trashed him. They took him, you know, made him, I had armed guards lead him out of his office. They did all sorts of ridiculous stuff to this guy. And so, yeah, now he says, okay, I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you what's going on. So, I mean, you know, their actions are the ones that have provoked all this. I don't know why this is such a big deal to them. I don't know why him filing an ethics complaint against the head of the Alabama Department of Mental Health created this much of a firestorm in the governor's office, but it did.
It's wild. And, you know, he kept receipts, if you hear him talk like you have, and like you said earlier this week, and he has witnesses for so much of this that they claim he did.
He had a board member that was kind of finagling behind his back.
Right.
And on the on the governor's behalf.
Yeah, and Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia talked about that some yesterday also on Midday Mobile. But I think what Admiral Davis said towards the end of his conversation with Sean, he said this is a PR battle that Alabama does not want when it comes down to them and veterans and how little the state has done for veterans over the years, and now they're coming after him. And he's exactly right. This is a PR battle that Ivy would and is losing.
Look, the $7 million, the ARPA money, the $7 million in ARPA money that Ivy went after him claiming that he endangered that was supposed to go to veterans, the state took it away from veterans and did something else with it, okay? So the concept that he endangered veterans' funds is ridiculous. I mean, they're the ones that pulled the money. I mean, Davis says that Bill Poole, the head of finance, called him and told him that they've looked into everything. All the stuff that Ivy came back and claimed he did, that they looked into it and found no issues. And, you know, none of this, all this stuff happened months ago. And then when he filed an ethics complaint and when it became public that he had filed an ethics complaint, that's when the governor's office said, oh, this guy, he's done, you know, he's messed up with the finances and he needs to get out of there. We need to throw him out now. It's very obvious what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I mean, I think she's violated the whistleblower laws. I think she's violated open records, open meeting laws. And, you know, and I think she's created this entirely new precedent for governors that they didn't have before. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they need to show everybody how they came to this understanding that they could do this. And they don't have any, precedents that are anywhere close to what this situation is. There's no precedent of the governor overriding these independent boards.
It's wild. Now we'll just see who has the stones to challenge the governor. If there's anyone in the legislature that will do so.
She gets sued. You know, if they get sued, regardless of whether she's in office or not, all this stuff's going to come out in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'll have to bring Bill Poole in and talk to him. They'll have to bring these people in, and they'll have to subpoena the records. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, we'll find out who's being truthful or not.
Yeah, I have an idea. I know who that is and who it's not. And also, you know, there are elected legislators all around the state that could say something.
Yeah, they should. And I think they really, I wish that the legislature would have hearings on this. Mm-hmm. I think they should. I think they should get together and they need to answer this issue of this supreme executive power, the governor is throwing around. They need to answer that issue of what that is and when it can be used and if it is appropriate for this type of circumstance.
Rob, good stuff as always, and we appreciate your time this morning. If folks want to pick up that latest issue, the Veterans Day edition of Lanyap, with plenty more local and statewide stories in it, how can they do so?
Well, we're in all the purple boxes around town. You can also go online to lanyapmobile.com. Sign up for Lanyap Daily, and it's only $6.50 a month, and it is lots and lots of news, folks. We're covering stuff every day, so you're missing a lot of breaking news if you're not there.
I think it's going to be the spring of 2026, if you could put it on your calendar. That's when they're going to have the grand opening of the Ivy Prison. That's when it's due to be done. It's in April of 2026, I think. So, you know, we can ride up together, all three. What do you want to do?
Well, you know, with any luck, maybe we'll be sentenced there.
You can only hope.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. We'll talk to you next week.
Rob Holbert, Lanyap, LanyapMobile.com. And coming up, we wrap up Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 854. Good to have you along. And Mobile Mornings. About to wrap it up and turn it over to Jeff Porter. We still got a few things to kick around here a little bit.
Yeah, by the way, coming up on the Jeff Porter Show, talk about international political news and warfare. Francis Martel with Breitbart News joins Jeff in hour number one.
Great guest.
April Marie Fogle in hour two, and former state senator Dick Brubaker in hour three. Let's breeze through some of these texts that you've been so kind to send us over the last 3 hours. 251-343-0106. CB Carl says maybe they could give Governor Meemaw a suite at the new prison for what she did to Admiral Davis. Jolene says, hey, I think we need to tailgate the Ivy prison opening. That's not the worst idea.
All right.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
I'll go by Spring Hill Ace, pick up a Blackstone tailgate grill.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get some Yetis, and we'll have a good time out there.
All right.
This texter, who was that jackass reporter that came on 106.5 and said Davis was in the wrong and started all this by filing a complaint? You're probably referring to Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News. He has... pretty staunchly, if not in the governor's side on this thing, he has explained what he feels is the governor's reasoning behind having Admiral Davis removed as commissioner of the Veterans Administration, and he certainly seems more friendly to the Ivy's office description of how things went down compared to the Davis.
I would say that Todd Stacey is the lone voice that's appeared on this station, be it a guest, Davis himself, listeners, that's his stance. He's the only one.
He is the only one I've heard that's kind of taking Ivy's side on this, if you want to call it that. But also, no, there have been some legislators as well who've come on, at least early on in the process, and said that Ivy may have been correct in doing what she did.
Yeah, but they didn't know it was going to spiral to this point.
Yes.
And all this information that's out there now, if they were to review it, they would probably change their tune, I would think, if you want to have just a shred of people respecting what you have to say.
Dan says, down with Meemaw. This texter, the best drugs are sold in Mobile County Jail and Alabama prisons because of the corrupt Alabama government. I'd say it's more because of the corrupt corrections officers that they have so much difficulty hiring.
Yep.
It's tough to hire them, so you end up with corrupt corrections officers. How about that story that Dearman, who they thankfully and finally put to death a couple weeks ago, that on death row he was getting high every day, according to his...
Unreal.
Was that his faith?
Yeah, his religious leader or whatever.
The person they tag him with that is their religious leader said he was getting high every day on death row. Martin says, Meemaw's Supreme House of Rehabilitation, all puns intended. Meemaw's Supreme House of Rehabilitation.
That's funny, Martin.
Mr. Plot says, you never know, maybe Miss K turns into mom from Dr. Detroit when things get rough behind closed doors. Yeah, maybe Ivy would be a good corrections officer. I don't know. You don't know until you see someone in that kind of situation.
Well, you don't see anybody standing up to her, so something's, you know, what's up?
Holman is in Atmore. The prison isn't named Atmore. There's also Tutwiler for women. Yeah, I guess Holman's probably named Tutwiler. It is. I don't know. I've never. Governor Ivy Correctional Complex. That's just an interesting name. I haven't heard a governor's name slapped on a prison like that.
But well,
I'm sure it's out there.
Got it slapped on a tunnel downtown.
Yeah, it has. Also, wanted to just get into this. I'm sure Jeff will dive in further. But the Senate majority election yesterday for majority leader, and John Thune ends up winning. He will take the baton from Mitch McConnell, who was the longest-serving Senate leader of either party ever. And Thune beat out Cornyn on the second secret ballot. A lot of folks complaining that they were doing secret votes. He ended up winning 29-24. But in the first secret ballot, Rick Scott ended up with 13 votes. It was the fewest of the three and knocked him out of the running. But a lot of folks were wondering what Katie Britt was going to do, because Senator Tuberville came out and said he would endorse Rick Scott. He made that very clear early on in this process. Katie Britt kind of held off on her endorsement. And some people around here were really upset. They wanted to see her vote for Rick Scott. Well, she comes out and says she did vote Rick Scott in that first secret ballot. She didn't say who she voted for after that, but wished John Thune well as the Senate Majority Leader. Then people called Britt a liar
and
said she didn't vote for Scott. Her office said, no, some people abstained from the vote, but she was not one of them, and that her first vote went to Rick Scott. So that's what happened with Britt in that election. Jeff Porsche on the way. Mobile Mornings back tomorrow at 6.